أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يعتذرون إليكم إذا رجعتم إليهم قل لا تعتذروا لن نؤمن لكم قد نبأنا الله من أخباركم وسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Today we commenced with the summary of the 11 juz of the Holy Quran. And we are continuing the discussion of Surah At-Tawbah or Surah Al-Bara'at. This is the surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the latter part makes mention of the expedition of Tabuk. And it was a general call out, universal call out for every Muslim male to attend this expedition because it was a very, very important expedition and it was required of every male to avail himself of this particular expedition. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to instruct everyone to be prepared and ready. Any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predicted for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these hypocrites, they will not go and they did not attend. And in fact, it discouraged others and they mocked at them when they were going, as was already explained yesterday in the 10 juz. Beginning of the 11 juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that now when you are going to return from Tabuk, you will find the hypocrites will come and they'll start putting one excuse after the other. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will come making excuses to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you return to them, to Medina after coming back from Tabuk. Tell them, don't make excuses. We shall never believe you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us about your condition that you are lying and you are hypocrites. سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسُ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. When you, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, return to them, the hypocrites, they will swear before you in the name of Allah that they had valid reasons for not accompanying you, so that you may leave them alone and not admonish them. So pay no attention to them. Do not pay any attention to them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made their abode the fire of Jahannam. يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِن تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. They take oaths before you, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, billahi, tallahi, wa rabbil ka'aba. They take qasams upon qasams in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may become happy with them. But even if you become happy with them, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be happy with these disobedient ones. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the praises of the Sahaba and those who are the true followers of Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the foremost of the Muhajireen and the Ansar. These are the ones, the forerunners. Allah has praised them in the Quran. What more can we say about the praise of Sahaba? Allahu Akbar. These are the greatest of the Ummah. Nobody can surpass the Sahaba in piety, in righteousness, in sincerity, in firmness of iman, in strength of conviction, in love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can surpass them, neither the Ansar nor the Muhajireen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes in that category those وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ and those who followed them with sincerity. May Allah make us from those ones. May Allah make us from those who are the true followers of Sahaba, the Ansar, the Muhajireen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah, and Allah has prepared for them paradise, gardens, beneath which rivers are flowing, and they will remain there forever. Zalikal Fawzul Azim. This is the great victory. May Allah grant us that victory. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that there are certain believers that they are weak, they have certain weaknesses in them. They are not 100% pious. They have a mixture of good and bad deeds. And that is generally our condition as a whole. We are generally like that as a whole, that we do some good deeds, sometimes we commit sins. May Allah forgive our sins and accept our good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. There are others who admit their sins. These were some people that did not accompany Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Tabuk, but they did not make excuses. They accepted their mistake. So they have mixed their actions, some being good, and while others are evil, Allah will soon accept their repentance. Allah will forgive them, because Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope in the Quran. Alam ya'lamu anna Allaha huwa yaqbalu tawbata an 'ibadihi wa ya'khudhu sadaqati wa anna Allaha huwa at-tawwabur rahim. Do they not know that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the sincere repentance from his servants? Allah accepts their charity that is given for his pleasure, and that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those few sincere sahaba that did not accompany Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battlefield due to some weaknesses of theirs. They procrastinated, they thought, okay, we'll join. And in the meantime, they got caught up and they never made it. And now they were very regretful and remorseful. So they were sincere ones. They accepted their mistake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجُونَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. There are some sincere sahaba whose matter has been postponed for the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either Allah will punish them or Allah ta'ala will accept their repentance. And this refers to three sahaba particularly, Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Murara, and Asad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These were three sahaba who they had not participated in the battle despite having the ability to do so in the expedition, and they regretted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept their tawbah immediately. Their tawbah was accepted after 50 days. For 50 days they were boycotted by the Muslims on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach the Muslims a lesson that when the call is out, don't look for any excuse, do not procrastinate and proceed. That will be explained further on in the verses ahead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also mentions one aspect of the hypocrites, that they built a masjid in Medina near Masjid Quba. And they built this masjid to create dissension in the ummah and to create disunity. And it was built on the foundations of harm and kufr and disbelief, and as a kind of a base against the Muslimin. So they built this masjid whilst Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gone for the battle of Tabuk. And they wanted that when he comes back, they would invite him to read Salah there so that they can legitimize this base of evil and hypocrisy and dissension and disunity. This masjid was called Masjid al-Dhirar, the masjid of harm. So they put this masjid up in order to create division and dissension in the Muslim ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَيَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. They built this masjid on false foundations. Then they came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, come read salah in our masjid. What was the intention? To legitimize their masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تقوم فيه أبدا. Never ever even set foot in that masjid, because this is a masjid that is not a masjid, but it is actually a disguise to create dissension and division and fitna in the community. Fitna is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns so strongly in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wal fitnatu ashaddu min al qatl. Fitna is worse than murder. And these people were hell-bent on making fitna. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered this masjid at Dirar to be burnt down and destroyed. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows a comparison. Allahu Akbar. A masjid that was built on the foundations of taqwa from the first day. And which masjid is this? This is reference to Masjid Quba. That same masjid in Medina Sharif, that if a person goes and reads 2 rakat salah there, on Saturday is a sunnah to go, then for 2 rakats of salah there, person gets the reward of Hajj and Umrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of Haramain for the Ummah, so we can go back to Makkah, Medina, and to Masjid Quba, and to all these beautiful places. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Masjid Quba. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only praises the masjid that was built, Masjid al-Taqwa. It was called Masjid al-Taqwa, Masjid al-Quba, because it was built on the foundations of piety from the first day. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself participated in the construction of Masjid Quba, the first masjid that was built in the history of Islam, even before Masjid Nabawi Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only praised the masjid, but he praised the musallis of this masjid. Who were the musallis of this masjid? They were men that they would love to purify themselves, and they were people who were exceptionally pure and clean, internally, externally. Who were these people? These were those sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them that they people were extremely pure. When it was asked that what was it that they were doing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them so much, it was mentioned that they use water to make istinja, and they washed themselves thoroughly after relieving themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this act of theirs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Holy Quran. Since this is about the battle of Tabuk, and the discussions are all around this particular expedition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions further on, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has bought the lives and the wealth of the believers in lieu of Jannah. This is what the deal that we have struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that we will give our life and our wealth for the pleasure of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn will give us Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises certain of his very chosen servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, At-ta'ibuna al-abiduna al-hamiduna al-sa'ihuna al-raki'una al-sajiduna al-amiruna bil-ma'ruf wa'annahuna anil-munkari wal-hafizuna li-hududillah wa-bashiril-mu'minin. 9 qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised here. The true believers are who? Those who make tawbah, at-ta'ibun. Al-abidun, those who make worship. Al-hamidun, those who praise Allah. Asaihun, those who fast. In other words, they stay away from too much of worldly indulgences. Asajidun, arrakiun, those who make ruku. Asajidun, those who make sajda. Al-amiruna bil ma'ruf, those who encourage towards good. Wanahuna anil munkar, they prohibit from evil. Wal-hafizuna li hududillah, and those who maintain the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not overstep the limits that have been set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remain within those limits. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Give good news to the believers, the mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further on mentions, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. It is not permissible for the Nabi and the believers to make istighfar and seek forgiveness for those who died as idolaters, as disbelievers, even if they are your relatives and close families. It is not permissible to make dua maghfirat for them. Allah Rabbul Izzat does not allow it, and Allah Ta'ala is not going to accept it. So the question arises that how come Ibrahim alayhi salam made istighfar and dua maghfirat for his father? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that doubt in the next ayat, وما كان استغفار إبراهيم لأبيه إلا عن موعدة وعدها إياه. The Ibrahim alayhi salam seeking forgiveness for his father was only because of a promise that Ibrahim alayhi salam made to his father to fulfill that particular promise. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, he made istighfar for his father, but when it became clear to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side that his father was Allah's enemy and he would die without iman, Ibrahim alayhi salam absolved himself completely from his father. So therefore it cannot be said that Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he made istighfar for his father, so it will be allowed. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared this doubt in this ayat. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the story of the three sahaba. These were those three sahaba who had stayed behind from the battle, and they were Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ka'ab bin Malik, Hilal bin Umayyah, and Murara bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum. These were the three sahaba who did not go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala postponed their tawbah and the acceptance of their tawbah, and they were boycotted by the Muslims. And the whole story of Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what he felt and how bad he felt when he was boycotted. He felt that, you know, the earth had become so constrained for him. It was better that, you know, the earth should take him in than to go through all that kind of, displeasure of Allah and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But eventually, Allah ta'ala accepted the tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in these verses. لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار الذين تبعوه في ساعة العسرة من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم إنه بهم رؤوف رحيم. First Allah Ta'ala makes mention that Allah sent His mercy upon the Nabi and towards the Muhajirin and Ansar who followed Him in the hour of difficulty. Which was the hour of difficulty? The expedition of Tabuk. After the hearts of some of them were almost shaken, causing them to hesitate. But they went forward. Without doubt, Allah Ta'ala is most compassionate and most merciful towards them by giving them steadfastness and giving them the guidance. They went forward. Then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the three sahaba. Allah accepted the tawbah in such a way that they have been even mentioned in the Quran till Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Such was the sincerity of the tawbah. In fact, when the tawbah of Ka'ab and his companions were accepted, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself called him and gave him the glad tidings and told him, O Ka'ab, Allah has accepted your tawbah. It is mentioned in the Quran. There could not be a happier day for you from the day your mother gave birth to you than this day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your tawbah. وَعَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَن لَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also turned in mercy towards the three that is accepted their tawbah, this Murara, Ka'ab and Hilal, whose matter was postponed, and it was postponed for 50 days until the earth narrowed for them. Despite its vastness, they couldn't find any place to hide themselves, and their own souls narrowed down for them. In other words, they became so overwhelmed by depression, and they were convinced that there was no safety from Allah except towards Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned towards them in mercy, and they accepted their repentance. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O believers, O people of iman, fear Allah, stay away from sin, and perform all the good deeds you have been commanded to do, and associate with those who are truthful. Stay in the company of the truthful, stay in the company of the pious and righteous. Good companionship is going to help you to stay on taqwa. Bad companionship will move you away from taqwa. Good company will keep you on taqwa. This is why it has been said that it's so important to keep the companionship of the Ahlullah, the Allahwala, the pious servants of Allah, the Awliya Allah, because a person staying in their company, it will have a positive effect on a person's life. And this is why we have the whole system of bay'at, and a person takes a sheikh and he follows his sheikh and he he takes guidance from his sheikh and he reforms his bad habits under the guidance of a sheikh. This is on the basis of this ayat of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a command to stick to the company. When one mufassir explained this beautifully, that kunu, be, stick in the company, be glued to them. Then he asked, how long must a person stay with these pious people? He said, khalituhum litakunu mislahum. Stay with them until you become like that. And piety rubs off onto you. And you also acquire that quality of, until then you should stick in their company. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the pious and the righteous servants. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the importance of striving in his path and all of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives a important command to the believers. And what is that command? That not all should go out together in the expeditions, but some people from the Muslim community have to stay behind. And what is the purpose of staying behind? So that they can absorb themselves in knowledge and ilm and acquire such deep knowledge of deen that when their people need that knowledge, there are people there who have studied and they got the knowledge and they can impart. Otherwise, if everybody is going to take part in expeditions and nobody is going to dedicate themselves to knowledge, then who will teach them the laws of Shariat, etc.? There has to be some people who are dedicated to research and deep understanding of the Shariat, and these are the people who will acquire the fiqh and the deep knowledge of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that there must be divisions of duties. Not everybody has to be out, because then this will be neglected. So there's divisions of responsibility. Some people will be involved in administrative work. Some people will be out in the battlefields. And some people will stay behind and they will be deeply absorbed and immersed in study and they will acquire the knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of this here. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّا فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. It is not correct for the believers that they should all proceed together in jihad, in the path of Allah, when it is not compulsory, when there isn't a general call out. There's some expeditions can go, there isn't a general call out, then all should not go at that time. Why does a small group from every large party not proceed to attain a deep understanding of deen, which is farz-e kifaya, so that they may warn the people when they return to them, so that they may beware of doing something wrong? These people have to have the knowledge and keep on educating the people. This is halal, this is haram, this is jais, this is najais, this is permissible, this is not permissible. Who is going to do that if people are not going to specialize in the branches of the study of deen? So this goes to show us how important it is to have our institutions of knowledge, our madaris, our darul ulooms, our institutions where people go and specialize in the fields of study. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of the importance of this here in this ayat of the Quran. In the end of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his beautiful qualities and attributes. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Undoubtedly, a messenger from yourself has come to you. Allahu Akbar. That beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the difficulties that afflict you are very distressing to him. And he is very anxious for good to come to you. And he's extremely forgiving and merciful, gentle and kind towards the mu'mineen. This was our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful, what a compassionate disposition he had. How he cared for his followers, how he cared for his ummah. He was always concerned that no difficulty must befall his people. It used to distress him when any difficulty befell them. And he was extremely forgiving, extremely merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities are Ra'uf and Rahim. Allah is Ra'ufur Rahim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that the Nabi is also Ra'uf and Rahim. beautiful qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that about his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next surah after that is Surah Yunus. And Surah Yunus is a Makki surah. It has 119 verses and 11 rukus. And the reason why it is called Surah Yunus, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the story of Yunus alayhi salam and his nation in this particular surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of aspects of the nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the denial of the people of Makkah. They didn't want to accept, despite so many proofs in front of them. In any case, in between the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of certain admonitions for the believers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Indeed, those people who do not wish to meet us, who are pleased and contented with the life of this world because they have no attachment for the akhirah, and who are indifferent, ghafil, negligent towards our verses, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these people are those whose abode will be hellfire because of what they earned. May Allah save us from being that those people that waradu bil hayat, they're too happy with the life of this world and they're so comfortable and attached to this world that they pay no attention at all to the akhirah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the people of iman. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati yahdihim rabbuhum bi imanihim tajri min tahtihimul anharu fi jannatin na'im da'wahum fiha subhanakallahumma wa tahiyyatuhum fiha salam wa akhiru da'wahum anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the people of iman. Those who brought iman and did righteous deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them because of their iman. And again, they will be in gardens of bounties beneath which rivers will flow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they will enter into Jannah, then what will be the words there? They will say, Subhanaka Allah, you are pure. And they will greet each other. Their greeting in Jannah will be salam, like how we greet in this world, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Like that, they will be greeting each other in Jannah, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Allah Rabbul Izzat will greet the people of Jannah with salam. The angels will greet them with salam, and they will greet each other with salam. Allahu Akbar. And these words that will come from them in Jannah, wa akhiru da'wahum, the last words in Jannah will be Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Quran starts with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and the believers in the end will also say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah make us from those fortunate ones. So after explaining to the disbelievers that you people spent, you saw my whole life from my birth till 40 years, I lived with you in Makkah, and I did not attend any institution, any madrasa, I didn't go to any teacher, I did not read any books, I did not read and write. There's no way that I could have brought this, these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you other than wahi and revelation. But unfortunately, these people were very, 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 very stubborn, and they were intransigent, and they did not want to accept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have done your duty by conveying to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that by inviting to Islam, you are actually inviting them to the house of peace. And what is the house of peace? The house of peace is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says that we should accept his message, then it is an invitation from Allah. Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam wa yahdi man yasha'u ila siratin mustaqim. Allah calls towards the home of peace. Darus Salam. What is Darus Salam? Darus Salam is Jannah, the home of peace, where there will be no sorrow, no troubles, no calamities, no losses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomsoever he wills to Sirat Mustaqim, to Deenul Islam. When people come into the Deen and then they do good deeds, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. those people who do righteous deeds, for them will be the best rewards in Jannah, and there will be more, wa ziyada, there will be a bonus, there will be a bonus, there will be an extra benefit for them. What is that ziyada? The Mufassirin say that tafsir of ziyada is, they will get the opportunity of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is ziyada that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention here in this ayat of the Holy Quran. Allahu Akbar, may Allah make us the fortunate ones who will be able to make ziyara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention that these people, they deny the Quran. They say the Quran was made up by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these are nonsense and lies that they speak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, challenge them. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى. They say you fabricated this Quran. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Challenge them, say to them, then produce even a single surah like anything in the Quran and call whoever you want to help you. The whole world can come one side besides Allah. Bring everyone and see if you can produce anything like one ayat of the one surah of the Quran. You will not be able to. You will never be able to. Because the Quran is inimitable in its beauty. It's unmatched in its eloquence. And therefore nobody can match the Quran in its glory. Nobody can reproduce anything like the Quran. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks later on about the Holy Quran. Ya ayyuhan nasu qad ja'atkum mu'izatun min rabbikum wa shifa'un lima fi sudur wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. O people, indeed advice has come to you from your Rabb, from your Lord. What is this advice? The Quran. The Quran is an admonition that has come to you from your Lord, a cure for whatever evil doubts or evil qualities or wrong beliefs or any bad qualities you have in you is in your hearts. The Quran is a cure for that, and it is a guidance and mercy for the believers. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say about the grace of Allah, that is Islam, and His mercy, the Quran, about this you people should be rejoicing. These are the things worthy of rejoicing and showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is better than what they accumulate, that is the disbelievers' wealth and property. You've got something far superior. You have got the wealth of Iman and you have got the wealth of Quran. What is the comparison of material wealth to the wealth of Iman and Quran? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true appreciation and the value of Iman and Quran and Deen. Deenul Islam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the awliya, His chosen servants. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Behold, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such people, the awliya. They shall have no fear about the future, nor shall they grieve about the past when they are leaving this world. Who are the awliya? What is the definition of awliya? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who have iman and those who have taqwa. Over and above iman, they've also adopted an additional requirement, and that is the requirement of taqwa, that they're always obedient and never disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the definition of a waliullah, the definition of awliya Allah. Doesn't mean that somebody who flies in the air and who walks on the water. Those are miracles that even sometimes non-Muslims can do. The real wali of Allah, the criterion of wilayat in the eyes of Allah, in the ayat of the Quran, is the iman must be solid, and over and above that, they must also have the quality of taqwa. May Allah make us from the awliya Allah. Then what they will receive? لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them there will be good news in the life of this world and in the akhirah. What is the good news in the life of this world? In the life of this world, the good news is at the time of death, they will be given glad tidings by the malaika that, mashallah, you have succeeded you have passed the test. And ulama mention that one form of glad tidings in the life of this world is good dreams. Either they will have good dreams or people will have good dreams about them. And this is a sign that inshallah they are from the pious and righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let not their speech grieve you. The speech of the enemy, the speech of the disbelievers, the speech of the hypocrites, those people who are out to harm Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to say a lot of evil things. They used to say a lot of hurtful things about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their words cannot dishonor you, because honor belongs only to Allah, and Allah grants that honor to whomsoever He wants. And if Allah takes that honor away, nobody can give it. And if Allah gives that honor, nobody can take it away. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That ayat in the third juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Izzat is from Allah, and Zillat is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us honor and Izzat, and save us from disgrace. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Nuh alayhi salam, the incident of Nuh alayhi salam. Watlu alayhim naba'a Nuh. The story of Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned several places in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the story of Musa alayhi salam. As I mentioned, Musa alayhi salam's story is mentioned very frequently in the Quran, because his nation, the Bani Israel, have a very close resemblance to us, the Ummah Muslimah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ بِآيَاتِنَا فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. We sent Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam with clear signs to Firaun and his ministers, but they were arrogant and they were a nation of sinners, so they did not accept it. When the truth came to them, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا إِنَّ هَذَا لَسِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. When the truth came to them from us, they saw the miracles of Musa alayhi salam, of the asa, the staff of Musa alayhi salam, the shining hand. They said, oh, this is just magic. When people do not want to accept the truth, then they find any excuse to reject it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes all of these beliefs of theirs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions now, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَن يَفْتِنَهُمْ. Only a few people from the nation of Musa alayhi salam believed in Musa alayhi salam, because they feared Firaun and his ministers would torture them. Any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salam that tell your people that they must put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Encouraging his people to be strong against the oppression and tyranny of Firaun, Musa alayhi salam said to his people, oh my people, if you believe in Allah, then put your reliance on Allah. Make tawakkul on Allah. For Allah alone will assist you against your enemies, if you are truly believers and Muslimin. So the nation of Musa alayhi salam, they said these words, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We put our reliance and trust on Allah. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. What a beautiful dua Allah teaches us in the Quran. The Bani Israel made this dua, but it is for us also. Oh Allah, do not make us a test to the oppressive ones. Don't let them overpower us and oppress us. And oh Allah, rescue us with your mercy from the tyranny and slavery of those people who do not have belief. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun, وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّآ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Wahi was sent to them. Tell them to establish homes for your people in Egypt. Make your own colonies. And then make your homes into places of worship. Establish salah in your homes. Every home was to be a place where Allah's ibadat and worship was to take place, like how at the moment we are in lockdown every home, Salah is taking place, Tarawih is taking place, Tilawat is taking place. Like this, the people of Bani Israel were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their homes into places of ibadat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their du'as against Fir'aun, and the time came when Fir'aun was going to be destroyed. And how it happened? When Musa alayhi salam went with his people to the Red Sea to cross over, Fir'aun chased them with his army, thinking that he will catch up with them. But Allahu Akbar, when he entered, then he was drowned, him with his whole army. وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعُهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Now, when Allah Ta'ala made Bani Israel cross over safely, Fir'aun and his army plunged into the Red Sea, and then the waters closed over him. حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ, when he started drowning. Now he realized that, oh, all this time I should have brought Iman. And he started screaming at that time, Amantu, I brought Iman. Annahu la ilaha, there is no one worthy of worship, illa alladhi, besides that Allah, Amanat bihi Banu Israel. The Banu Israel's Allah, I believe in the real Allah, the true Allah, the Allah of Bani Israel. Wa ana min al muslimin, I'm a believer now. Why? He saw the azab. The curtains were lifted up, and he saw the azab of akhirat, so now he wants to bring iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, al-an, now, you want to believe now? وَقَدْ أَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ, when all this while you had the chance, you were so disobedient before, and you were amongst those who caused mischief and corruption on earth, and now you want to bring belief. Your iman is not accepted at the time of Sakrat, when your ruh is leaving your body, your iman and your tawbah is not accepted. Too late. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further told Fir'aun, today we shall preserve your body to be a sign for those after you. Allahu Akbar. There are certainly many people who are negligent of our signs, and they fail to take lesson from them. Allah Ta'ala preserved the body of Fir'aun, Rameses the second as he was called. That mummy of his is preserved even till today. It was found. And this is the miracle of the Quran. The Quran says that his body will be preserved. And people will see, they refer to that mummy as the scream. It looks like a person who's screaming, perhaps because of the azab that is being inflicted upon him. May Allah save us from his azab. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the story of Yunus alayhi salam and the people of Yunus alayhi salam, that when he invited them to Iman, they refused. Eventually, Yunus alayhi salam got frustrated and fed up with them, and he felt the azab of Allah is coming, so he decided to leave them and go away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him permission to go. He should have waited for Allah's command and then left, although the azab was coming. But he left before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not a sin, but it was perhaps an error of judgment of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, what is called an ijtihadi error. It's not a sin, because Anbiya alayhi salam do not commit sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then caused him to go on the boat. When he was going, the ship started rocking, and then they cast lots, and eventually the people took him and threw him overboard in order to save the ship from sinking. And then he was swallowed by the fish. And that famous story of Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned elsewhere. We will discuss that further, inshallah, in one of the juz. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسْ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْيِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. There has been no nation who accepted Iman before Allah's punishment overtook them, where the Iman benefited them, except the nation of Yunus alayhi salam. These were the people of a locality called Nineveh. When they accepted Iman, we turned away from them the punishment of disgrace in this world, and we granted them enjoyment for a while, for a period of time, for as long as they lived after that. How did this happen? This happened when they saw the azab. They saw Yunus alayhi salam is gone. They realized this is a serious matter now. And they realized that we are going to be destroyed. They saw the signs of azab. They all went away into the jungles, and 3 days they cried and wept and made tawbah and brought iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the azab from them. And this is how they were saved from the azab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in the Holy Quran. Towards the end of this ayah, this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your Rabb, your Allah willed, all the people on earth would have surely brought iman. But He knows best why He does not give everybody hidayat and tawfiq. Will you force people to accept iman until they become mu'mineen? Your job is only to convey. You cannot force them. Do not grieve over them if they do not accept. If they reject, it's not your fault. It is their misfortune that they were not chosen for hidayat and guidance. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No soul can bring iman without Allah's will, without Allah's order, without Allah's grace and Allah's favor and kindness. May Allah make us those who always remain on iman, die on iman and raised with iman, and always on hidayat and guidance. Allah Ta'ala save us from misguidance. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is iman. This is a lesson in iman. If Allah afflicts you with any harm, none can remove it besides Him. And on the other hand, if He intends any good for you, none can prevent His mercy from coming unto you. He grants His mercy to whomsoever amongst His servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives whoever He wants. Nobody can question Him. The end of the surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يُحْكُمَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow whatever has been revealed to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exercise sabr and patience. Do not melt in the grief and sorrow. Exercise sabr until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes His decision. That is, either Allah is going to guide these people towards Islam, or otherwise Allah is going to punish them. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Allah is the best of those who decide. With that, we come to the end of Surah Yunus. And the next surah is Surah Hud. Inshallah, we will commence with Surah Hud tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the understanding of Quran, the knowledge of Quran, the connection with the Quran, and pondering and reflecting on the Quran, and implementing and practicing the teachings of Quran in our life. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.